Just before we pray this morning for Pastor Shannon to come forward, when we were singing the songs, and I don't even know where the scripture is, so I'm looking for my scripture gurus here, about how the things of God and salvation seem foolish to the world. And I just thought, aren't we privileged? We are so privileged to know that truth and to not see that foolishness. And let's just continue to shine and know that God is good, that we're forgiven, we get to forgive. Everything's tied together, the goodness of God and how to keep going and loving. And we're just so blessed on knowing that. And it doesn't matter how foolish the world thinks we are. We know the word is true. And it's because the Holy Spirit is in us and bears witness. Praise God. So we just thank you, Lord, this morning for Pastor Shannon. As she comes forward, she's going to share that word that's going to take us even farther than we've gone so far this morning. So bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Now, get myself all primed and ready here. I'm going to start by saying this. Intercessors here this morning, you know who you are. I'm just going to ask you to seek the Lord, because at the end of the service this morning, we want to have a prayer time. We want to call forward people who want prayer, okay? So I'm speaking it now. I'm planting the seed, if I can put it that way. What the Father wants to do this morning through his people, through his Son Jesus, through the Holy Spirit in us, amen? It's good things. I've got a little story here this morning. There's a little boy sitting at the family dinner table with his brothers and sisters, mom and dad, and he says, "Daddy, are bugs good to eat?" His dad, being a little bit squeamish when it came to bugs and stuff, said, "Son, that's not the kinds of questions that we ask at the dinner table. We don't want to talk about that right now." So they had their dinner, and after supper, father went to his son and said, "Now, son, what is it that you wanted to ask me?" He says, "Oh, it doesn't matter anybody anymore, Daddy. There was a bug in your soup, but it's gone." Sometimes we defer things to what we think is a better time, and it may not be. We have been talking about our reigning King Jesus and the fact that he is seated now in heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, and authorities, and rulers. And it says that God has raised us up and seated us in him. And so when we think of our reigning king, we're so blessed because our king walked this earth as man in the same manner that we as believers should be walking. And that's what he died to give us. You see, sometimes we look at scripture and or the story of Jesus, and we all say, "Thank God for Jesus, that he died for our sins." Amen? Amen. Thank God that I have a place in heaven. Amen. But you know what? Some of the times we stop there. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God my sins are forgiven. Thank God my home is going to be in heaven. But you see, we forget how much more Jesus did in his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension. And the fact that we have a reigning king, he's our reigning king, not only in heaven, but he should be reigning in our hearts. Right? So as I continue on this morning, I'm going to be honest, this is part 5 of 6. There's another one to come. And you're saying, "Oh, come on, I'm done with this. I am so sorry." You're right. I'm not sorry at all. I call it the Canadian "I'm sorry." You know, I'm sorry. Not really. And I want to say this because it's like, okay, I spent some time with the Lord. I said, "Lord, thank you. I can't believe the privilege that you have given me by calling me to be a pastor. What an absolute me. You called me." You see, what you don't know about me, I do. And I'm not sharing it with you. But he does. And he looks at me and knows the potential in me because he's in me and I'm in him and his spirit is in me. This ain't about the Shannon I thought I knew. It's about the one he knew. And I say that to say the same thing to each of you. And then I say, so Lord, as a pastor, is it, what is it that I'm, you know, when I preach the word, what is it that you're asking to happen? He says, I want you to equip. His word says, I have given you the gifts of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, and the preacher. And I want to tell you, this church is full of gifts. And why are they given? To equip the saints. For what? To do the work of the ministry. And I want to tell you, for a long time, what's happened in this attitude or this, I'm sorry, Rebecca, if I'm moving out of camera, just go like this. And thank you. That we have done this, that the work of the ministry is for the prophet, the apostle, the teacher, the preacher, and the evangelist. And we just come and listen. Isn't that how the church has operated for how many decades? Too long. Now, I have to be 100% honest this morning, and I'm sure you all recognized if you turned around that I wasn't in the service. I was in the back praying, and I tend to do that. But I'll say this, I trust those who are teachers, who stand up here and teach. And I'm excited about what Wendell shared with you, the mandate that we have in this church. And part of what we do is equip you to do the call, the calling in the ministry to what our congregation, what this body of believers has been called to do. A mandate to go forth. And again, it's a journey. It's a journey we are on. Now, I'm not going to reteach what Wendell shared, but we do have a mandate, but I'm taking this mandate just a little bigger, if I can put it that way, of what we've been called to do. And this morning, we're going to go in a really strong direction, I feel. I'm just going to be honest. That's what I feel. Jesus, our reigning king, part 5, prayer, authority, and the dominion mandate. Now, I have to be honest, last Sunday, I didn't quite get to finish everything I wanted to do, so I didn't quite get to the whole part of the mandate that we have in Jesus and what we've been called to do. So, here's the scripture we're going to start with this morning. Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Now, we know about the death, burial, and resurrection. And again, as I said, his death, burial, and resurrection wasn't merely just to forgive our sins, though it did, but it meant beyond that. And his resurrection, or ascension to heaven, seated him in those heavenly places far above. His life on earth was a model to us of how we are to live. It was actually a call right from the beginning, right from Eden. He showed us what it's like to live with our spirit alive to God, full of the Holy Spirit, moving in the earth. That's what he's done for us. What we saw in Jesus is now for us as believers. And again, I've already said he's raised us up and seated us in Christ at his right hand, the Father has. So what has he done? He's given us a new condition. We are new creations. He's given us a new position. And he spoke to us about the authority that we have to bring the kingdom here to earth. Now, if you look up the word dominion or kingdom, either one of them are interchangeable. It means kingdom, it means rule, and it means dominion. And Jesus, when his disciples said, "Teach us to pray," what did he say? Here, this is how you pray. Our Father, give us this day for those of you at home didn't hear me say it, I hope you prayed it out loud at home. And if you that was the Lord's Prayer. If you didn't, you can do it now. Our Father, man, listen to all of the components of that prayer. And today, of course, I want to focus in a little bit on thy kingdom come. That when Jesus is saying that, he's actually going back to the very mandate that was spoken over mankind when God created man. And God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. There's a plural there. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Yes. Our likeness. Let them have
dominion
over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, including a slippery, slimy little serpent guy called Sin. We'll just put it there for a minute. And then, creepy thing on earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him. Male and female. He created them. Does God make mistakes? No, he does not. You are not another gender in a body that you can just say what. Sorry, won't go there at the moment, but we get it. That's a lie of the enemy, but we're going to talk a little bit about that. He created them, and he blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over everything that moves on the earth. God, from the very beginning, gave us dominion in the earth, gave us the mandate to bring kingdom reality into the earth. Now, we all know what happened. We know the fall, and we know about Jesus and what has been restored back to us. Again, if you didn't know that word, dominion means kingdom. It means rule. They carry the same meaning. You could interchange them. So when Jesus says repent, go back one, I think. Whoops, let's go the other direction maybe. Repent. What our tendency is to get into the whole idea of repentance being, tears, broken hearted, all of that kind of stuff. That can be a part of it. But repenting also means to change your mind. Change your mind how you're seeing things. And when you change your mind, if you're going this direction and you change your mind, you tend to change direction. Jesus says, repent, change your mind. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven has come near. Is he talking about just his presence? No, he's not. He's talking about what God had intended all along. But I'll tell you what, we need to change our minds just like they did to the very people Jesus was speaking to. We need to repent. We need to let go of our way of seeing things and doing things and understand God has a better way. Now, one of the things we need, again, I want to bring back to our remembrance, if I can put it this way. is what Jesus has done for us. All of it that's a work of grace. His ability, God's ability in us, what he's restored us back to. He's made us perfect in our spirits. We are this new creation. We are in the kingdom of God and we're seated in heavenly places. So a new condition, new position, and new authority. All based on what you did. Right? Are you saying yes? Is it based on what you did? No. It's based on what Jesus did. Just checking to see if you're awake. It's a little warm in here this morning. Just kind of makes you want to go to sleep. No, it's based on what Jesus did. It's a finished work in the name of Jesus, in his authority, in his death, burial, and resurrection, in the ability of God. It's a work of grace, and it's by faith that we receive it. It's by faith that we recognize we're a new creation. It is by faith that we recognize we're in the kingdom. It is by faith that we see the authority that we have, and it's by faith in what Jesus has done. It's not about all the things we can work up and all the things we can do. It's not about getting our report card all checked off. Just speaking about the end of the year, right? School year for kids. It's about what Jesus has done, and he got a perfect A on his report card, okay? It is a perfect work in Jesus, and you are born again, born anew of an uncorruptible seed. You can't screw anything he did up. You can't mess it up. He has done it. And it's important for us to really get a hold of this, to grab a hold of who we are, our new condition, our new position. We need to get that into our hearts, not just our heads. We need to establish our hearts because we'll never step out fully into the dominion mandate God has given us unless we recognize it, unless we understand who we are in Christ, the position we sit in, and the authority that we have because of him. Again, do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know where you're seated? Do you know the authority you have? Or are you just trying to do everything in your own strength and the way you think? Ooh. We are new life creations in a new position, new authority with a mandate to bring the kingdom of God into the earth. So then the question is, how do we do this? What does it look like? What are we supposed to do? And this is just the start. This isn't everything. Let's go forward here. We read that one. Prayer. Prayer is powerful. That's where we start. As new believers, communion and community, communicating with our Father, sitting down and having time with him, looking at his word, sitting in a service and listening to the message being preached, sitting around a Bible study table and getting into the word together. All of those things are a part of it, but it starts as we begin to pray. And I want to speak about what prayer looks like, because we have all different kinds of experiences, and I'm not saying that some of them are wrong or right, but I want to talk to you about prayer that releases authority. We take time and we listen to the Lord, and we say, well, how do I do that? I don't know what the Lord's ear, what he sounds like. I'll tell you what, pick up a Bible and read a couple of verses. Ask Holy Spirit to start revealing to you. And again, you know what? Sometimes we think about it's going to be like this. Sometimes you have to learn to listen for a voice, the voice of Spirit. And as you walk, as you journey, you will hear the voice of the Lord. It's interesting, you'll even find that sometimes you might be listening to a radio program or something on TV, or and something totally secular, the Lord will speak to you through it. And don't ignore it and say, oh, well, it's a commercial on TV. It can speak to you. He can speak to you through anything. And he's good all the time. We sang that this morning. But you know what happens quite often when we come to prayer, when it comes to where we've been taught to pray this way because that's when we became a believer, that's how we saw it done. We start to tell God about all the problems. And we do it like he doesn't know. And then we inform him on how he should fix it. Or sometimes we come to God with a lot of complaining. And again, you know what? Papa listens. It's okay. I'm not saying, I just don't want you to stay there. If we have moments like that. I've been there. My Lord, I just don't know what that person is like and what they're doing in my life. And good grief. If they really knew, God, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to tell them. You just, right? How about you just be quiet, Shannon? Yeah. And I'm going to say, I've been here. There are places where we get begging and pleading with the Lord and prayer. We come at that sometimes and we're just in such a broken place. We get a phone call. Your loved one is in the hospital. Your heart sinks and panic and fear grip you. And we're driving to the hospital and we're praying, God, please, I'll do anything, Lord, just right. And our hearts are breaking and pleading, and we begin to negotiate with God. And I just want to talk about back in March, Betty, Jim, and myself did a teaching on receiving from God. And we talked about, as we spend time now, in this world you're going to have struggles. Stuff's going to happen. But as we pray and seek the Lord and learn his word now, as we meditate on the word of God and get a hold of it now, when those crises happen, we're going to go from beggars to standing in authority. Pleaders to standing in authority. Now, don't kick yourself, don't beat yourself up, or whatever, if you have a moment where you go into crisis mode and beg, but if the Lord will remind you who you are and who he is. And let's move into that. I want to take us to a story in the Bible. We're all really familiar of it, talking about a beggar. This is after the ascension of Jesus and the day of Pentecost, and here is John and Peter. They're taking a walk to the synagogue, to the temple to pray. And on their way, who do they run into but a beggar who's been lame since birth? I think it says it's 40 years. And what is the position of the beggar? He's down on the ground. And with his head down and his hand up, he asks for some money. It's interesting when we think what happened in that moment. There's John and Peter. And Peter says to the lame man, look at me. Look up. And he does because he thinks he's going to get something. And then Peter does this. He says, I don't have gold or silver. What is it in the man's thinking that is his life? That this is my lot in life? That if I get a little gold or silver, things will be good. And Peter says, look, I don't have gold or silver. But what I have, what does Peter have? He has Jesus. He has the authority of Jesus. He has the power of the Holy Spirit in him. And he walked with Jesus knowing what Jesus said, everything you saw me do, even this you'll do, and even greater things. He even experienced before Jesus' resurrection that. And he says to him, he starts to pray, Father, you know how long this man has been lame. You know how badly he needs to be healed. You know, Father, what Jesus did for him. Does he do that? What does he do? He stands in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing kingdom to that moment. And he says, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, I give to you. In the name, he's speaking in authority. In whose name?
Jesus.
Grabs his hand, pulls him up, and he is healed. And what does he start doing? Leaping and dancing and praising God. This story goes on because, of course, Peter and John get pulled in because they start preaching the good news, because the people crowd around and see, we know this guy. We've seen him here for 40 years. We know what's going on here. Something's going on here. And they take the moment to preach the good news of Jesus, because they walk in the authority that they have. Is it because they were an apostle? No, it's because they were believers. Being an apostle of Jesus was just the call. Did they raise him up in their own strength? They raised him up in power of the Holy Spirit. And who did they give glory to? God. God in us. Us in God. We're to bring heaven to earth. And when we spend time reading his word and talking with Papa, getting his word into us, and he speaks to us situations and circumstances, and he says, go in authority here. We're going to get into that the next time I share more into that. Now, I want to ask you, anybody here have any kind of problem, situation, or circumstance? What time is it? Yeah. Who doesn't? In this world, you will have trouble. How many of you, I'll raise my hand, I'm not asking you to, have looked at a problem in a situation that you're in and might be in right now and just said, oh, Lord, just take me home, because I know in heaven there is a solution. It's going to be, I'm not even going to have to deal with this. On the other side in heaven, I'm not going to have to. So does heaven have the solution? In fact, we sang it this morning. Heaven has, or earth has no problem that heaven can't heal. Oh, when you pray, Father, thy kingdom come in earth. Why are we waiting? Isn't that our problem? We're waiting till heaven for the solution. And Jesus said, you've got the solution. The kingdom is near. In fact, I think it's, I'm sorry, I can't remember. It's in your mouth. To the pulling down of your prayers are powerful, but not if you don't know who you are, not if you don't know the position you're in and the condition you're in and the authority you come in. And I'm talking about not just coming with mental assent. We want to establish our hearts in this. And I'm speaking to you, my brothers and sisters. You have authority. The kingdom, a mandate of God to bring the kingdom of God into the earth, to bring heaven on earth. And as we sit with the Father, we know. And again, we want to listen to Holy Spirit and to the Father. And that comes. And it, as we listen, I'm going to preach a different direction if I don't pull myself back to my notes here. We have the solution. Why are we waiting to be in heaven to see the solution? We need the solution here, and it has been won for us through Jesus. That's what I'm talking about, Marion. Listen up, girl. That's what I'm talking about. His will on earth. And that's the mandate we bring, to bring kingdom. Now, I'm talking about prayer today. And again, there's so much more about it. Our lives, the way we live, brings kingdom. But I'm starting with prayer this morning. So just understand, I'm not saying prayer and that's it. And it doesn't always mean that we're on our knees and in our prayer closet, but we do need to spend time there. In fact, it says for us to pray unceasingly. How do we do that? We just walk listening, recognizing things, knowing that we come into authority. Let me ask you this. If heaven has got the solution, it's the answer, then maybe when we hear praying from victory, we need to see the future now. The future, when I die and go to heaven, this will be taken care of. Maybe we need to see the future now. Because is the battle already won? Is the work already finished? Yes, it is, because our Savior, our King, our reigning King is sitting down, folks. Powerful prayer. We're going to keep looking at this. Ephesians 6:12. How many of you did your homework? How many of you are asking, what was the homework? Just read the book of Ephesians, folks. Read through the epistle of Ephesians. Oh, it's good. Oh, it's good. Just saying. It's all good, but man, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Where are you seated? Just underneath all these guys? In Christ, far above. Is our battle against flesh and blood? Do we come out and just like, curse my neighbor, Lord? We shouldn't. Your battle really isn't there. I'm going to touch on a touchy. Do we pray against, Hamas, the people? What is that? It's a spirit. Okay. How about the wokeness? We know that's a spirit. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against who? The devil's schemes. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. Again, I'll just put in there. We're going to stand strong in the, whoops, something happened there. Did I push something? I did. Put that down. Getting a little excited here. The devil is real. And we are seated far above. Right? Are things happening in your family? In yourselves? You think that it's the Lord doing it? And I'm going to be honest, sometimes it's our own stupidity, hello Shannon, that does things, but it's also the schemes of the enemy. When we buy into his lies, when we buy into his scheming, his plans, his agenda, he kind of preempts our will and our authority. We give over our will to him, and we can see a whole generation out there who has been blinded. And that's what the next one say. I assure you and most solemnly say to you. Oops, sorry, let me go back. I thought there was another scripture there. We'll get to that next scripture in a minute. So we want to put on the full armor of God, and we start the battle in the spirit. You have authority in the name of Jesus. And again, we want to seek the Father first. But when we see the enemy moving on our families, attacking our families, attacking our neighborhoods, attacking our schools, we have the authority to stand and speak. The kingdom. We know the kingdom is not what we're seeing happening in the earth. Whose kingdom are we seeing rise up in the earth? Satan's. The one who wanted it all along. And I'm going to say this. Maybe I'm out of line. I'm sorry. I'm a Canadian, sorry. If this offends you, but hello, church, we've been asleep. We've been asleep. And I'm not saying it's every other church but us, but hello, it's been us too. We've been asleep. And we need to rise up into the mandate to bring the kingdom, to pray over what's happening in the schools and all this wokeness. We know this LGBTQ plus, and that I'm not, you know, we know that is not of God. And I know standing here and speaking it out and it being recorded, I'm a target. But guess what? I don't care, you're right. Because I serve a God. And I want to see every single one of those people free. Because they've been blinded by the God of this age and are buying in to their own understanding, their own thinking, which really isn't their own. We have an enemy. I'm getting ahead of myself again. We have an enemy. And according to 2 Corinthians 4, it says this, the God of this age has blinded them, those who don't believe us. But you know what? Can we heal the blind? Yes. Can we speak the truth gospel? Yes. Plant seeds that grow to seeds of faith? Can the scales fall off their eyes so they see? Yes. Is that up to you and me? Yes. It is, because Jesus sent us in his name. We have an enemy that wants us to serve him and worship him, and there's a world that is doing just that. He wants to control. He wants the power here on earth. And he hides behind the will of unsuspecting and unknowing and blinded people to bring his lie, his kingdom in the earth. Isaiah 56:6 says, we've all like sheep gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own ways. Wow. When I talk about the LGBTQ plus, they have to put a plus sign on because there are so many ways. It's just ridiculous. And they've turned to those ways. I think I've got this out of order here. We'll come back to the Matthew in a second here. Be alert and of a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Recognize that guy. We pray unceasingly because we're being of sober mind. We walk down the street and we see something or we hear something. And we call King, Lord God, this is out of line with what your kingdom is about. Father, how do I pray into this moment? How do I bring your kingdom into this moment? Because just merely recognize it as the start, but the second part is in the authority, this is not right. I speak kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven into this. And I hope that God gives you a moment and an opportunity to speak into the life of somebody at that time. opportunities, right? But are we bold enough? I'm going to go backwards now because, whoops, this way. This was the scripture. Sorry. Matthew 8:18. This is the Amplified Bible. This is what Jesus said. I assure you that most solemnly say to you, whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven. We have the authority to do this. And when we see what takes place, we know in heaven there isn't sickness and disease and oppression and chaos and division and all of that. I mean, we know that's not there. We know that that's unlawful. And we can come in the name of Jesus and the authority that we've been given and speak into those situations. And speak over our family situations where that's coming in. In the word God says, Jesus says, listen, speak anything in my name. Right? He says, speak anything, ask me anything in my name, and it shall be done for you. And when you, but you have to believe you received it. In your asking. And again, we don't come like beggars. We come to the Son and we say, Lord, this is happening in my family. It's unlawful. And I'm standing in your name. He says, stand, ask. That is coming off my family now. I don't care if it's generational things or something that's just come in. Break it off your family. The kingdom is in your mouth to the tearing down of strongholds. Are there strongholds over your family? Time to bring them down. And then we give thanks. Not because we see it right then in that moment, but because we know it is going to be there. It's not here yet, but we've established it in the heavenly realms. We have declared the victory. We know the solution. It's heaven. It's the kingdom of God. The future is here. God didn't say, I call himself I will be or I was. He says, I am. He's the God of eternity, and eternity is in this moment. Jesus has brought this, bought this, paid for this for us to have it right now. We have a dominion mandate to bring the kingdom of God into the earth. And each of you has to see yourself as a spiritual force in the name of Jesus. When you pray, remember your condition, your position, and the authority in whose name you are praying. Our risen King who is seated at the right hand of the Father. In his name. And I want to tell you, there isn't a demon on earth who can stand against the name of Jesus. And when we stand in authority. And let me tell you, the enemy doesn't want us to know it. He doesn't want you to know it. Aren't you tired of letting him take that authority over you? Or take that authority away from you? How many of you are sitting here feeling blind in that? Or are you feeling empowered? Are you feeling, I go by feeling, sorry. Sorry, I'm just going to move on to our last side. James 5:16 says, there any of you confess, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The sin, if we've got stuff that's entangling us, we pray. We thank God for forgiveness. We pray for each other. We get healed from it. Because sometimes we've let stuff into our lives. And if the enemy is being revealed to you, if I can put it that way, if his lies and if his manipulation is being revealed to you, get with your brothers and sisters and say, pray with me. This is what's going on. This is what I've been doing. This is where I've allowed him in. Help. And guess what? The prayers of the righteous, your righteous brothers and sisters, is powerful and effective. And like we said, it is to the tearing down of strongholds. You have the authority. Do you think you have the authority, or do you know you have the authority? All right, I want you to stand up here with me. And I started this morning and I said, we're going to have a time. If there's things going on and you need your brothers and sisters to come and stand with you in prayer and take down the strongholds of the enemy, when I finish and dismiss, come forward, because we don't have to leave right away. We'll pray with you. We want to break those things, whether they're sickness, illness, addiction, whatever the thing is that's going on in your life or your family's life, let's break it now. And the authority that we have in Jesus. Amen? Amen. So be it. Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we thank you that in your precious name, Jesus, we have the power. Because of Holy Spirit in us, because you are in us, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, for the mandate to bring your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, you're using us. And it is your honor and delight to use us, those of us who are willing to yield to you and to what you have called us to. So again, Father, as we go from this place, let us take the mandate of the kingdom, dominion in this world, out to this world, and stand up in authority, bringing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a blind world. And right now, Father, we even break and speak where the enemy is blinding those of us that are those in our families and in our neighborhoods, that those scales are falling off now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you move out ahead of us, that you are bringing the truth of the gospel to the hearts of many. And as we come with the word, they will be prepared and ready to receive. Thank you, Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen and amen. So again, we dismiss you. If you're ready to go, that's fine. If you want to come up for prayer, I invite my intercessors forward to come and stand. And we will pray with you and anoint you, stand with you in this. Come on.